is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Malcolm Honlein, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations. Malcolm, the headline in the Times of Israel reads, Israel-Lebanon. Israel-Lebanon, not usually working together, to sign maritime boundary deal at UN base. Malcolm, this is unusual. Yes, Lebanon is a failed state. Yes, and this maritime deal has to do with prosperity in the future, if I remember correctly. Good evening, Malcolm.
Good evening, John. Yes, you remember very correctly. And it's still a country theoretically at war with Israel. And, of course, run by Hezbollah, backed by Iran. So there is every reason that this headline should be noteworthy. And I know that our guest has a special perspective, living not far from that border, on what its implications are.
We welcome Sarit Zahavi, former lieutenant colonel, now lieutenant colonel in the reserves of the IDF. However, Sarit is the mastermind of ALMA, which is a nonprofit independent research center we've come to often to talk about the northern border of Israel. That's the threat by Hezbollah in Lebanon. Sarit, is this good news for you and your neighbors? Good evening to you.
Hi, good evening. The answer is always is complicated. On the one hand, of course, it's good news. We are now ending a few very tense months on the Israeli northern borders. While during these months, Hezbollah was prepared to war against Israel, and we could see this preparedness while traveling along the border. So we can say that the agreement that was signed met most or almost all the Lebanese demands, and that way, abolished, I don't know, the excuse of Nasrallah, the threatened war, to go to war over this specific issue. In this sense, it's a good news.
Okay, I'll take that. Good news, Malcolm. Is it good news?
What are the implications? Let's talk on a practical level. The paper was signed today. Israel is already pumping from Karish, from the oil rig near its border. What does it mean now for Lebanon? When do they start? I know they've signed the deal with Total. When do the people start to see some benefit, if ever? And certainly, when will Hezbollah start taking the funds that are raised from the sale of this gas?
Yeah, perfectly said. I think around a few years, at least 2 or 3 years, maybe even more, till whether it's the Lebanese or Hezbollah, we don't know whether it's the Lebanese people or Hezbollah, but till we'll see actually harvesting of gas and profits on the Lebanese side, while in Israel, I hope it will take 24 hours because the gas rig is already there. So in this sense, we earned a situation that we can safely, or at least until next time, let's put it this way, safely harvest the gas while the leader of Hezbollah, Hassan Nasrallah, threatened to go to war if there wouldn't be any agreement and Israel will harvest the gas. The implications, on the other hand, I must say here, first, it's very important to clarify to everybody, though the headlines in the newspapers and what the Israeli prime minister is saying, it's not history in a sense of changing any situation or relationship between Beirut and Jerusalem. It has no political aspect of recognition or walking through towards peace between Lebanon and Israel. The Lebanese refused to have any photos from the signing. It was not a joint signing. Each side signed and committed in front of the UN and in front of the United States. And you ask at the beginning, John, what was the response in Lebanon? Mainly a response that wants to clarify that it's not, there is no normalization between the two countries.
Sarit, I'm puzzled about why Hezbollah is doing this, threatening war. And then the concessions are made. And now it's still, the posture is we're at war. Is Nasrallah weak because he's gone along with this deal? You note, for example, Tehran for years has refused to cooperate with all of the offers made by the United States and our allies about concessions over the Iran deal, and they continue to hold out. Why didn't Nasrallah hold out? Because does this weaken him or strengthen him to permit this signing?
I think there was a combination of a few things. First and foremost, this issue of the maritime border was the project of the president of Lebanon, Michel Aoun, that is about to finish his term within a few days. And Michel Aoun is a very comfortable person, and maybe it's an understatement, for Nasrallah. And I think that there was a lot of pressure by the Americans on the Lebanese government and on Israel, of course, to get an agreement. And I think also that Nasrallah understood that Lebanon needs the money. And, you know, even now, before we get the money from the gas, they already see a little bit more willingness to commit by international financial institutions to assist Lebanon. I don't want to say SAAP, but very, very quickly. So I think all these reasons made Nasrallah think how to make a lemonade out of the lemon, how to take the credit for this agreement, and, you know, which will, in a way that will contribute to its own reputation inside Lebanon, and at the same time make sure that this agreement does not symbolize any normalization with Israel. And I think he succeeded. He actually succeeded in doing so. If you ask me, you know, good news or bad news, that's the bad, that he succeeded in conveying the message that it was the pressure of Hezbollah that brought the agreement, and that way he could take the credit. And eventually we'll see where the money will go.
Malcolm?
John made reference to concessions by Lebanon. In fact, Israel made concessions. And if you could explain a little bit how they determined where the line is, what Israel gave, what did Lebanon give, as far as I can see, nothing. And with Aoun's term finishing and no replacement being able to be found, will there remain a void? Will he stay on? Will they see to the implementation of this deal?
We have 2 minutes, sure. Sorry. 2 minutes. Go ahead.
Okay, I'll do it as quickly as possible and as simple as possible. For a decade, the area of dispute was an area of 800 square kilometers for a decade. And 2 years ago, after Israel had found gas, the Lebanese tried to more than double the area of dispute, presenting a new line, which is further to the south and actually crossing into the Israeli gas reservoir. Eventually, what was agreed in this agreement is that the border would go along the original Lebanese position as presented to the UN 10 years ago, except for 5 kilometers next to the seashore along the buoy lines that Israel unilaterally marked after the withdrawal in 2000, which these 5 kilometers will not be recognized as an international border in opposed to all the others, but will be recognized as the status quo. We will preserve the status quo. So these 5 kilometers are the only one who will be along the Israeli position and the Israeli demand, but they are not recognized as border. This is crucial for Israel's security. It was very important to make sure that we keep these 5 kilometers, even if it's actually unofficial. And on the other hand, yes, we made a concession and we eventually signed an agreement that most of it is along the Lebanese position.
Sarit Zahavi is the CEO and founder of ALMA, a nonprofit independent research and education center, especially keen on reporting on the northern border with Lebanon. Good News and Bad News by Sarit Zahavi on the signing of an agreement for prosperity for the region. Malcolm Hohnlein, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations. I'm John Batchelor.